We're going to begin by talking about how you break down carbohydrates. And before we do that, we should think about the different types of carbohydrates. So let's start off by just having a quick review. Remember, we've got our polysaccharides, which is starch and glycogen, and they're made up of big chains of glucose molecules, and they can be broken down into slightly shorter chains of glucose molecules, which we call oligosaccharides. And we've also got our disaccharides, so we've got sucrose, which is made of glucose and fructose, maltose, which is glucose joined to glucose, and then finally we've got lactose, which is glucose joined to galactose. And in order to absorb them, we really need to break them down to their simplest components, which are the monosaccharides. So where do we begin? We begin in the mouth with our amylase, salivary amylase, and that is going to work on our large polysaccharides, our starch and glycogen, and it will probably only break them down to oligosaccharides, which are slightly shorter chains of big long glucose molecules. And if we're really lucky, we could get them down to a disaccharide, which would be maltose. And then we'll continue with our digestion, and it will now be in the small intestine. And we have some more amylase in the small intestine coming from the pancreas. So we can do the same thing. That amylase will work on our polysaccharides, our starch and glycogen, and continue to chop them up into oligosaccharides. And then we continue. We've got two other enzymes in the small intestine produced by the brush border, and that's dextrinase and glucoamylase, and they could work on the oligosaccharides and get them down to disaccharides. But remember, the only disaccharide we're going to have is maltose because it's glucose joined to glucose. And then finally, we've got three other enzymes, brush border enzymes, in the small intestine. One is sucrase, and that is going to work on sucrose, and will chop it up to give us glucose and fructose. And then we've got maltase, which will act on maltose, and our breakdown products there will be glucose. And then we've got lactase, which will act on lactose, and our breakdown products there will be glucose and galactose. And then once we've broken them down, we are going to want to absorb them. And the absorption is going to take place in the small intestine again. And we're going to have to remember that we've got to go first from the lumen of the small intestine into the cell, the simple columnar epithelial cell that makes up the wall of the small intestine. And then from there, with our carbohydrates, we're going to move across and into the blood. So we've got really what amounts to four cell membranes really to cross in order to get actually into the bloodstream. So we're only going to look at a couple of those. We're going to see how do they get from the lumen into the small intestine cell. And two of them, glucose and galactose, will be absorbed with sodium. So it will be a form of co-transport. They'll be getting a free ride with sodium as it moves into the cell. But remember, to get sodium out of a cell always requires active transport, so it's not really free. And then they can move across from there and into the blood via facilitated diffusion. And our fructose, when we want to absorb it from the lumen into the small intestine cell, will go across by facilitated diffusion. So that one does not require any energy in the first place. So really we've got two different methods for absorbing them. First we get them into the intestinal cell, and that is co-transport for glucose and galactose. And that will require some external energy, not in the first place because they're going with sodium, but it requires ATP to get the sodium out via the sodium-potassium pump, and fructose will go in for free because it's going in via facilitated diffusion. And then after that, they can all move across by facilitated diffusion into the blood.